Okay, this is Sunday morning, 5:14:23. This is a teaching called Dressing for Success. All right, Jesus, just as we have natural clothes, we have spiritual clothes. All right, we just read this in the last teaching, but we're going to read it again. This is Ephesians chapter 6. What happened in the garden? They lost their clothes. All right. Starting with verse 10 there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. An armed Christian is a Christian that is dressing for success. Yeah? Let me share with you what the Lord said to me a day or so ago. To wish that the attacks would stop is to wish to step out of the fray. To step out of your spiritual clothes. Some of us have not yet understood that it is because of the warfare we are engaged in that we're going through what we're going through. It is the reason for the attacks over the target. Why do you put your clothes on? To keep you standing when you're being fired upon. Instead of sorrow, we should get excited because it is evident that we are a success. We have successfully targeted the enemy. Stand here. In this passage means certainly or accordingly. It just goes with it. The only way to get it to stop is to get out of the fight. We cannot do that. We are too what? You know, we're engaged. We can't get out of it. Fight means to struggle literally or to compete for a prize, or figuratively to contend with an adversary, to endeavor to accomplish something. We're not just doing this just to do this. It's just all part of it. Let me also say this. Satan only has lies and counterfeits. To say that he created anything is to say that he is God's counterpart, and we know that is not true. I'm about done with hearing people act like the devil is God's counterpart. He is a renegade created being that has fallen out of God's order. Let's not underestimate him, but let's keep him in his proper place, and that's under our feet. To arm ourselves is to dress for success. It is the prelude to taking the kingdom by force. So when you get to feeling bad, just get up out of the house and go walk around the yard or go do something. Get your mind off of that woe is me pity party thinking. Shake it off, because it is part of it. It's like a soldier going to war or going into battle. Wouldn't he be stupid to think if he fired upon his enemy, the enemy wouldn't fire back? That's kind of silly and naive, isn't it? No, I've been trained in all this just to just shoot everybody and never get shot at. I think that's a pipe dream. But the point is, don't let that, what you're experiencing, overrun you or overtake you, get you depressed, because that just opens you further to the attacks of the enemy. Get up. Go do something. All right. We're going to look at the pieces of armor. They include the belt of truth. Here's what Strong's has to say. Truth. Verity. Webster's dictionary says what verity is. Verity is what is real. Truth. What is real? What is the devil constantly trying to do? Why? What isn't real? What's false? False evidence appearing real. Fear. Jesus said this in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What truth? What is the truth? Satan is a liar. He is a scammer. He has not no truth in him, Jesus said. So don't let his lies deceive you when you're dressing for success. When you're in the fray, when you're in the stand. John 8:44, that's when Jesus talks about the enemy, I just said. I mean, Jesus himself said he couldn't tell the truth. So, you know, whatever is coming from him is a lie. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So you're being fired upon. And what's being fired at you? A lie. But you're standing in the truth, right? You got to let the truth win out. Don't give your mind to him. Don't go down those roads. Get up and get busy. Go clean the toilet. Go do something. Get your mind off of it. I tell you, cleaning toilets will do that. Anyway, I won't say that. Anyway. But I'm telling you, go do something else. Go walk outside. Yesterday, I looked out my office window, and here was the little ground squirrel over here, and there's a grackle over here, and here comes two quail just walking by. You know, I'm just going, it's like Wild Kingdom out here. Lots to see. Lots of little birds and little creatures all around. Just don't sit there and let the devil pound you with his lies. All right. Breastplate of righteousness. Well, righteousness is justification. Stand like you own it because you do. Shield of faith. What's faith? Persuasion. Credence. It's your confession. Moral conviction of religious truth. Don't back off of the stance, your word. Your word is your bond, right? With God and with, you know, it's just your bond. All right, the helmet of salvation. We all know what these pieces of armor are, and when you go to look at what they are, they show to be, well, it's just a shield, or it's just a knife, or it's a sword, knife, whatever. Shield is a shield. Helmet of salvation. The helmet covers the head, helps you keep your mind right, which is the biggest part of this stance. Guard your mind. Salvation means defender. This is our covenant from God that we stand on that tells us that we have already won. Colossians 2:15. What happened in Colossians 2:15? He destroyed all the principalities and powers, all the power of the enemy. Well, I'm going to read it to you so you will remember. Colossians 2:15. He whipped the devil. Already, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The sword of the Spirit. Well, the sword there here says a knife. Spirit means breath. So it's not flesh and blood battle. It's a spirit battle. This is not a physical battle, but a spiritual one. There are five pieces of armor, and five represents grace in biblical numerology. There's a type and shadow of this in the Old Testament. You know the story, but we're going to read it anyway. This is 1 Samuel chapter 17. Starting with verse 31, I'm not going to read the whole story. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Samuel said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with you. So this was supernatural. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. He essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. You know, before we started this ministry, the Lord spoke to us about going and reading and learning about David and Saul. What was the difference? Saul went his own way. David went God's. And he took his staff in his hand. See, Saul's going to do it his own way with his armor. David's going to do it by the Spirit. And he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones. Grace. Out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with stones or staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. This is what happens in Ephesians 6 when you're standing and you've got the truth. The devil brings bigger, badder, anything to convince you to back down. Why? Because you're successful. You are successfully taking him out. You're successfully keeping him from doing what he wants to do. That's why you can't back down. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and of the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines that stay unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts, to the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in heaven. So David gave back to the devil just like the devil gave to him. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. We've already been assured victory when we stand. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came near nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't run to the foxhole. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistines in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, broke his skull. Think there wasn't an angel behind that? And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. In other words, David completely took out the authority of the devil against him. That's what taking a head is. That's an authority. We got to cut off the head of the giant, just like David did. As Christians, we must have a strategy to engage the enemy. David had a strategy. It came right out of his mouth. If we don't, we won't have a chance. Satan has used his same strategy against us repeatedly. Maybe somewhere there is an actual book that has documented how many times this renegade spirit has whipped humanity by his schemes and scams. He has one big playbook. I'll give him that. Kill, steal, and destroy, and repeat. Kill, steal, destroy, repeat. It's like wash, repeat. Rinse, repeat. This is where strategic intercessors come in. Through prayer, God will show us Satan's strategy so that we can take him out. That's our purpose. If you haven't noticed, Satan rules over people, places, and things. Jesus called these strongholds, satanic command and control centers. Let me say that again, satanic command and control centers. How are these spirits allowed to set up these command and control centers? Their entrance is through trauma, sexual abuse, abortion, curses, drugs and addictions, the occult, and many others. Hanging on to bitterness and unforgiveness, revenge, and fear can cause personal strongholds. All right, James chapter 5. A lot of times, like Jesus engaging with the madman of Gadara, you'll do it with a person. It's a personal thing. But where the Lord has us is mainly more territorial areas where these strongholds are. All right, this is more of a personal right here. This is James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Why did Elijah have to do that? Jezebel, territorial spirit. We see the personal and territorial right here in this passage. But people of faith, they stand and decree. That's what Elijah did. All right, here, how are we going to clean out all this garbage that the enemy has set up here? One instance is abortion. Outlaw it. This is why I say that a Christian needs to be aware of what is going on around them and what's obvious. Most people don't have a clue what's going on, don't care. They're just going about their own life and doing their own thing. They don't want to know. They don't know anything. Our land is full of satanic high places. Everywhere you look. Here's a few. Pagan temples and structures. Shedding of innocent blood through abortion, war, organ harvesting, adrenochrome harvesting, drug trafficking, human trafficking, organ trafficking, witchcraft and mind control through all the media sources, social media sources. Removal of prayer in the schools and sporting events that don't honor God anymore. They've all taken the national anthem down. Sexual perversion, drug addiction, and hate groups. BLM, Antifa. These are just a few, but the list goes on and on. We will let the Holy Spirit guide us in our targeting. We've got to ask him, what do you want us to take out? Usually he shows us. All of this must be cleaned up before we can go in and occupy it. See, we're here to change our world. That is the commission God has given us. I mean, to take the gospel to all the world, but that's about it too. That's about going in, taking the gospel to every creature. What does that do? Changes them. So we've got our work cut out for us, don't we? We got a new world ahead of us. It's going to be wonderful. But it's not going to just clean up like that. A lot of people think, well, God's just going to do this and everything's going to change. No, he's going to change men. And because men change, then they'll change the earth. I believe we're still going to walk by faith. We're going to speak. We're going to walk like in faith like we've never walked in faith, like they did in the beginning, like God did. All right.